Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in. I'm Doug Kazarian. This is the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We are taping this on Wednesday, November 6th. Kind of the home stretch here, Travis, of the college football season.
It's November. It's where the great teams will separate themselves.
Yeah. Well, the first playoff committee rankings are out. A lot of buzz, if you will, with your Ohio State Buckeyes number one. How do you feel about that?
To me, it doesn't really matter. I'm shocked that the rankings were what they were, but to me, Ohio State's got everything in front of them, so just handle your business and we're good.
Yeah, not a huge thing. It's fun to discuss. Sometimes you learn things from the committee when they put Oregon, then they're thinking like, all right, maybe Oregon has a path as a one-loss team.
See, I don't think you learn too much.
Sometimes you can.
They change. Some of them change so from week to week, it's hard to tell.
Right.
And it's like one week they might, oh, the eye test, and the next week they're going to go off of another stat. So who knows, but there's so much football to be played. We have a couple games this week, and that'll, you know, kind of give us a little idea of what's going to happen down the road.
Right. There's certainly inconsistency with the committee. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to talk about this weekend's card with Matt Eumanns. He and I line up on several plays. So that's not always the case, but it's good to see there. And then John Murray's going to join us on the back end for his pearls of wisdom from behind the counter, what action he has seen. Then Matt, we're also going to touch a little college basketball after last night's opening night. Let's get to it.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
And that's why we have our next guest, Matt Eumanns from VSiN out in Las Vegas. Top dog, editor, broadcaster, writer, everything. You do it all, Matt.
Handicapper, too. And let's hope we have some money won this week.
You know, it's crazy. I wrote up my games, submitted them for the ESPN Chalk college football picks, and then, you know, I had you text me yours for just to kind of get ahead of our conversation so I could research some stats or whatever. And a lot of overlap here. I hope that's a good sign.
Yeah, I do, too. I've got 10 games we're going to talk about on this podcast. I've got some other opinions, too, but I'm going to stick with these top 10 for the DK podcast today.
All right, well, let's start with the Friday night game. Uh-huh. We're thinking along the same lines, and I'm on Oregon State team total over 27.5, and you're on the Beavers plus the 10. At classic flat spot for Washington. That put everything it had into last week's game. Really should have won it, let alone cover. And then they have to go on the road. Kind of like just a weird situation. Corvallis doesn't really kind of initiate excitement, and I just don't think it's going to be like a good spot for the Huskies. I think it's a great spot for Oregon State. That's won a couple, thinking bowl eligibility, and it'll be a raucous atmosphere on a Friday night on national television.
Yeah, it should be. You know, and I have to admit, I've been on Washington twice recently, and that was against Oregon and then against Utah. You know, catching more than a field goal at home, you would think Chris Peterson's going to be a pretty good bet in that spot, especially when you got a quarterback who's Jacob Eason, who's in the discussion for the number one draft pick. I know that Washington defense is young and has been exposed a couple times, but Peterson lost leads in the second half of both of those games at home. Very bizarre. And I got to think this Huskies team's a little bit deflated after what happened. Those were two huge home spots. You come up short. All of your goals for the season are now shot to hell. And you're going to play Oregon State. And don't look now, but the Beavers are on the rise in the Pac-12. Jonathan Smith is doing a great job here. He embarrassed Chip Kelly at the Rose Bowl last month and then put a 56-38 beating on Kevin Sumlin in Tucson over the weekend. Jake Luton's playing great, 328 yards passing over the weekend against Arizona. This Oregon State team should be highly motivated here. Need two wins to be bowl eligible after Washington. The Beavers get Arizona State, then at Washington State, at Oregon. You're going to have to pull a major upset there to get to a bowl game, but I think this team's capable. It's definitely on the rise, and I'll take the 10 points with Oregon State.
Yeah, I'm opting for team total just because I think there's a better chance they, like, don't cover a high-scoring game than cover a low-scoring game, if that makes sense. So basically, like, I just think 28, I think I could get that. And there is a chance their defense is so bad that Washington just, like, gets fat and happy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think Oregon State's going to put some points on the board, no question. And there's a chance it could be a really high-scoring game. So I would agree with that line of thinking.
Well, on the same lines, so Washington, flat spot. USC, I'm not sure what they have in the tank. Their coach is more than on the hot seat, likely on the way out, Clay Helton. And they're going to this ASU squad that Arizona State's offense with a true freshman quarterback obviously was slow out of the gates, but they've looked pretty good the last few weeks aside from having to face that obviously very tough Utah D. But aside from that, he's put up points. The defense plays much better in Tempe. I like ASU here. I'm going team total again with ASU because of just all the injuries on USC's defense, and there's a chance the Trojans wide receivers just light up an ASU defense.
It's possible. USC is a banged-up team. Arizona State's off the bye. I like Herm Edwards here off the bye. Sun Devils 5-1 to start, lost the past two. They've lost their edge a little bit. I think they'll get it back here off the bye against a Trojan team that actually comes limping into Tempe this week. Keaton Slovis, a freshman, has been playing really well for the most part for USC. But four turnovers and that embarrassing loss to Oregon over the weekend, which certainly – I believe, and I think most people do, spelled the end for Clay Helton. He's doomed. 5-13 against the spread, the past 18 away for Helton. Let's see. Also, Jaden Daniels, the Arizona State quarterback, freshman, 11 TDs, 2 interceptions. He has not been turning the ball over, and that's a positive. Sun Devils fighting another team. You have to look at this handicapping angle a little bit late in the season. Teams fighting for bowl eligibility. Arizona State's won. I really believe USC should be coming into this game on a two-game losing streak. Colorado just handed that game to USC a couple weeks ago on a Friday night. Some coaching mistakes by Mel Tucker of the Buffaloes in that game. They were lucky to beat Colorado, blown out by Oregon. I don't see where the motivation's really going to come here for a lame duck coach. And I think Arizona State should be the play. I laid a point with the Sun Devils.
Yeah, we've seen some line movement. Opened a small dog, plus 1.5, now a favorite of about 1.5. Another game we're lined up on is Illinois, plus 15. I've been very suspect or questioning this Michigan State team all season. I think they've been getting by on kind of brand and reputation. They've played hard at certain times, but their offense is just so limited. I'm on over 7.5 wins. It's not going to get there. I just think this, like, the speed of Illinois – and the fact that, like, Peters is healthy, because at times that's been the issue. I think 15's way too many for a Sparty team, although I think it is a good spot for Michigan State off a bye. I think they're going to win the game, but 15's just too many for me.
You know, Spartans were off a bye a couple weeks ago against Penn State and did nothing in that game offensively. And, we talked on the podcast before the season, Michigan State over the win total was one of my plays, too, and a just total bomb. That's a loser. And I had too much faith in Mark D'Antonio to bounce back, and I thought Brian Lewerke with that shoulder injury healed was going to be much better this season. It hasn't happened. So coming into this game, you got Darryl Stewart, top wide receiver, 47 catches, about 700 yards. He's out. Mm-hmm. Starting center Matthew Allen is out. Mm-hmm. So the Spartans' offense is going to be a little bit hindered there. Illinois comes in with a ton of confidence. I mean, if you beat Wisconsin as a 30-point dog, you're going to be confident. And one 3 in a row, covered 5 of 6. I really believe this Michigan State defense has regressed, probably partly because of the offense has been so ineffective. The defense is on the field so much. Michigan State scored a total of 17 points in the last three games. It's laying 15 here against an Illinois team that's definitely made a lot of improvement. Now, those 17 points were against Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State, and Illinois' defense not anywhere near that level, but I still think 15 is too fat a number here, so I'll take the Illini.
Yeah, Stewart, by the way, accounts for 37% of the receiving yards of Sparty, so he's a big gog, and we all know centers are important. He's Matt Allen's, I believe, a junior, Stewart's senior, so that's big here. And Sparty, just they're 2-6 ATS, 1-3 against the spread as a double digit favorite. I just couldn't do it. I guess there is a chance that Illinois just unravels like they did against like UConn and nearly blew the game. So it is still Illinois on the road. Another game we're lined up on. You are on the over. I'm on the side. BYU, and I'm laying the 17 with the Cougs against Liberty. It's a very tough scheduling spot for the Flames. Third straight road game in 3 weeks. There's no bye. There's a bye and then a fourth straight road game. But this one is an altitude on their third straight. And here's a fun stat. I didn't think this was possible. But so you, as you know, Matt, there's 130 FBS teams. What do you think the ranking of Liberty's schedule is this year?
You know, I'm going to say, just based on, I know most of Liberty's schedule, it's either 129 or 130.
It's actually 143. There's some FCS schools that have played more difficult schedule, factoring in the Sagarin ranking. So I just think it's
a trick question.
Yeah, okay. I set you up. I mean, look, so there's some quarterback issues, right, with the Cougars. It looks like it's going to be Baylor Romney. Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, likely too injured and won't be back from injury. So that's why the numbers come down from, I believe it was 20.5. But still, I just think BYU rolls them. I think it's one of those games that Liberty got back on track with the win at UMass that I somehow was on the Minutemen. But this is a team that lost at Rutgers. I think they get blown out here by BYU.
Yeah, I'm going to play this over 58, just bank on some scoring here. Baylor Romney and Jaren Hall, by the way, combined for 405 passing yards against Utah State last week. I was on BYU in that game. I was very impressed by its offense in the past two games against Boise and Utah State. BYU averaged 35 points in those two games. Liberty in the past three, Hugh Freeze has put up 59, 34, and 63 points. Jordan Love passed for 394 last week against the BYU defense. So even though the Cougars are playing pretty good defense, I think Liberty is going to be able to at least put up something here to help this game get over the total of 58. I do think BYU wins big as well.
Yeah, I like the blowout or the high scoring game, because that's all Liberty knows, right? It's not like going to be a slugfest here.
Okay. Right.
Some games you're on. I want to hear your rationale. You're on West Virginia here. Why is that?
Yeah, West Virginia, I thought, played really well defensively against Baylor. Offense, yep, not so much. Only 219 total yards in Waco. But Austin Kendall, transfer from Oklahoma, has got the potential at quarterback to move this offense at home. I really felt all along that Neil Brown's an excellent coach. You know, he came over from Troy. I think he's going to prove to be an upgrade from Dana Holgorsen. And I thought this team was going to improve a lot in the second half of the season. I believe we're starting to see that with West Virginia. That defense sacked Charlie Brewer eight times in that 17-14 loss in Waco. You got a little extra prep time for this game. Texas Tech was a team I was really high on going into the season, but Alan Bowman, the quarterback, was knocked out in the Arizona game. Jed Duffy has played pretty well in his place, but you're laying points on the road here with a shaky Tech team against a very good West Virginia defense. I think this spot sets up really well for Neil Brown. Give me the 2.5 points with the Mountaineers in Morgantown.
Wow, that's an aggressive move there with that West Virginia offense, but I like it. At home there, catching the tune-up. What about Louisville? I'm interested to hear why you like the Cardinals here. I know we love Satterfield here on the program, but I guess Miami just can't block anyone, and they can't really cover big numbers.
Manny Diaz has not been good as a favorite, and you're off a big win over Florida State, knocking out Willie Taggart for his career. I don't know if this guy's going to return to be a college head coach anywhere. You can never say never, because Freddie Kitchens is a head coach in the NFL, so that means anybody can get a head coaching job anywhere at any time. But I just can't see Willie Taggart returning. By the way, I'll drop this in, Doug. I saw some reports, obviously the Bob Stoops reports are not going to come to fruition. Some reports now that Nick Saban's interested in the Florida State job.
Is that right? Is that right?
I saw that today out of Tallahassee. I think that's fantasy out of Tallahassee. I will predict the next Florida State coach is either Mike Leach or Mark Stoops. So you can write that down. Those would be my two favorites to take over Florida State. Mm. You know how much I like Scott Satterfield. You do too. He's off a bye here. He's 18-6-1 against the spread in his past 25. Beat Virginia before the bye. 3-1 in the past four games with a loss to Clemson. No shame there. Manny Diaz is a favorite. 1-4. Against the spread against FBS teams this season. Lost laying 18 points to Georgia Tech. A little bit of a flat spot off the Florida State game. I'll take the 6.5 or 7 with Louisville. Keep an eye out. I don't think there's a 7 on the screen today, but I hate to take 6.5 when there's an opportunity that a 7 would pass, would pop up. So keep an eye on the screen and take 7 if the opportunity arises.
Let's keep it in the conference. There's a game. Look, you know me. I'm a sucker for narratives.
Uh-huh.
And I think Dabo Swinney, this is like perfect for him, for the Clemson Tigers to be seated fifth here. He's about, aw shucks, little old Clemson, loves to sing that tune, and I think this just plays into his hands. And I think they go and just completely wipe out North Carolina State. The Wolfpack are bad to begin with, and I think it's a great spot to back Clemson, even on the road. I've been there to Raleigh in that stadium. I was there when they almost had a, they had a chance to win at the end, or at least tie the game a couple years ago. But I just think first half line, they go down. And I think the last three FBS opponents, they've outscored them 82-10. And that was all three came after that near upset at Chapel Hill against North Carolina, where Sweeney can then push the buttons. I think he does it here, and they go beat down mode.
Okay. I wouldn't doubt it. It's my thing with college football playoff rankings, no offense to ESPN, because I think we all understand what's going on. It's a made-for-TV event to try to draw ratings. It's total BS at this point that people get fired up about these rankings.
I agree. I don't care, but they do.
Ohio State's going to play Penn State. LSU's about to play Alabama. Clemson's going to be fine. Clemson just needs to win. It doesn't need blowouts. Just win, and Clemson's going to be in the playoffs, right?
I agree, because they've demonstrated that it's very fluid, especially if a team does not lose, they still can drop, which is great. I think it should be fluid. But that's the my point is, I don't care, but I think they care.
Right.
And I think Sweeney can push the buttons to the players and say, hey,
right,
we're disrespected, we're undefeated defending champs, and we're still fifth. We're not even in the playoff. You know, I think he makes them care for the right reasons, is my point.
Yeah, I guess if you're a player and you get fired up with those phony motivational tactics, that would work. I mean,
your
if
kids.
I was in that locker room, I would be laughing at the coach saying that doesn't matter. But most players are not like that. So they would just get fired up when Dabo flipped the switch. But no, you're right. Clemson, I think, is going to start to play better. We saw this team sleepwalk through pretty much most of the first half of the season. And now you can start to see the carrot at the end. I think these guys are going to probably get a little bit more fired up and a little bit more emotional and care about these games a little bit more as we get to the post towards the postseason.
Yeah, and I should say mention that the fourth team they played was did not cover was Wofford. They still won by 45, and the over under the total side was 47.5. So
yeah, Wofford had a great basketball team last year, right, but not so good in football.
By the way, I saw Tyler Herro miss like 5 free throws the other day in one game. I was like, where was that down the stretch against Wofford when they
could he just miss one?
Yeah, just missed one and we cover. I thought about that. That was painful to watch. The game I'm surprised we didn't touch on earlier, because I almost very close to putting it in. I did not. The numbers come down since you texted me. So you're on the Northwestern Purdue barn burner under 40. It's come down to 38.5. I think inclement weather in the forecast. So I guess just take me through it. As you know, this Boilermakers team likely going to be relegated to a third string quarterback.
Yeah, I follow the Big Ten, every team in the Big Ten closely. It's not only is there inclement weather in the forecast, there's incompetent quarterback play in the forecast. And I played this under 40. I expected it was going to drop. I couldn't believe I could still get it under 40. Purdue's down to his third quarterback this season. Elijah Sindelar knocked out. Jake Plummer knocked out. Not Jake. Jack Plummer knocked out last week with a broken ankle. Aiden O'Connell actually came in. He's 15 for 22 on the season. So he's got 22 pass attempts. And that's it. He's the number three quarterback. If for some reason, that kid gets knocked out. I don't know where they go for a number four quarterback. Northwestern has played a bunch of quarterbacks who look like four stringers the entire season. Northwestern 1-7 this season, scored more than 15 points one time. Outscored 106-6 in the past three games. Only time the Wildcats have scored more than 15 was in a 30-14 victory over UNLV, which is coached by a high school guy. I think these defenses are playing well enough, and the quarterbacks are inexperienced and weak enough that this is probably a terrible game of the year candidate here. I'm not sure why anyone would watch this unless you bet it or are a fan of one of the two teams. So I think it's going to be a 17-13 type of game, and even though the total's dropped a little bit, I think you can still play it under.
Yeah, I was looking at the first half under. I believe it's 19.5 right now. I just feel like sometimes one team gets up in the second half, and it was crazy. Like the Nebraska-Purdue fourth quarter was crazy last week. Not that these teams can go up and down on it either. I've been fading Northwestern pretty hard this year. I feel like a broken record, but Against Power 5 opponents, they have not scored more than 3 points in the first half all year. So they have faced seven Power 5 opponents, and I think they have 4 field goals. Or maybe five. Five field goals.
You might be right. Two. You know, play a half unit in the first half or bet the first half. And then I bet the game under 40, but I think the first half under is not a bad idea because with these quarterbacks, you got to think the offensive game plans are going to be conservative. And very conservative. And you're right that sometimes a game can, you know, kind of spin out of control in the second half with a couple fluke plays and things like that. So,
So to your point, like the Wildcats may like just lean on their defense, punt, things like that. But,
yeah, sure. Pat Fitzgerald's never going to be confused with Mike Leach.
But when you narrow the sort of window of margin of error, so for example, if a total's 39, 38 and a half, you're allowed like one stupid sack fumble in your own red zone scoop and score kind of thing. But if you do that in a half, then you're really like unlikely to go under. So that's like the devil's advocate approach to that logic. But yeah, I think I'm going to, and I'm not afraid to go over the top like Martingale this thing. So it'd be very unlikely in my eyes for both halves to go over. So let's just put it that way.
You know, and you can't discount the idea of a defensive score or something like that with these quarterbacks on the field. So I guess you got to keep that in mind as well.
Okay, so another game that you like is so you like K-State here. Interesting. I thought it would maybe be a flat spot, but no.
You would have thought the flat spot for K-State was last week off the Oklahoma win.
Right.
And Wildcats took care of business very impressively, 38-10 over Kansas. And that's what convinced me to go ahead and play K-State in this spot, too. If you're not going to be flat off a huge win over Oklahoma like that, you're not going to be flat this week. And, you know, they were playing the rivals, the Jayhawks, last week. But let's face it, that's not Auburn, Alabama, or Michigan, Ohio State. That's not that huge a rivalry. But the Kansas offense has been improving since the offensive coordinator switch that Les Miles made. And the Jayhawks are really in rhythm offensively going into that game last week. So it was a great performance by the K-State defense. Chris Klieman, he picks up right where Bill Snyder left off. Snyder was great in the dog role. Chris Klieman this year, 6-2 straight up. Obviously been dangerous as a dog. K-State's got the number 23 rush offense in college football, 217 yards per game. Texas right now having trouble stopping the run and the pass. And it's a problem when you can't stop either. Texas banged up team. All its goals for the season, again, kind of like Washington, shot to hell. Tom Herman, 2-5 against the spread in his past 7 at home. I don't see why Texas is going to be fired up for this game. I think the Longhorns might be a little bit flat. I'll take 7 with K-State, and I'm not sure if there's a 7.5 out there. Last time I checked the screen, 7 was the best number, but I like the purple cats out of the Big 12 in this one.
BetMGM does have 7.5, according to
Vegas. Okay.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. Texas defense is pretty bad, but, yeah, I can't fault you at all for that one. This one's interesting because I think both teams are overrated, and that's Iowa at Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
If I had to, I would play the Hawkeyes in this game, but I want no part of this at Camp Randall. Why Iowa here?
Well, I didn't bet this yet because the number is right around 9.5, and it was at 10 briefly, but I missed it. I hadn't decided if I really wanted to jump in on the Hawkeyes yet. And when I decided to go ahead and play it, the 10 had disappeared. I think it'll pop back up because I think most people will play Wisconsin in this game. 4 of the top 5 scoring defenses in the nation are out of the Big Ten. Iowa at number 3, 10.1 points a game. Whiskey at number 5, 11.4. This Iowa defense held Michigan to 10 points in Ann Arbor, held Penn State to 17. It's legit, you know, and it's not like the Badgers have been an offensive juggernaut in recent weeks. I think Iowa goes in, makes this an ugly, low-scoring game. Kirk Ferentz has a very good track record on the road and as a dog. I think Wisconsin wins a tight game here. I'll wait for this number to go to 10 and take that with the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, low total, getting 10 or 9.5 with a total of 38. That's something. Good deal. Anything else, Stan? How are you playing Alabama-LSU? Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. The nightcap, the bailout game on the islands, Hawaii laying 7.5 here to San Jose State, and you like the road team here.
Yeah, I I liked Fresno last week as well, and I ended up not betting it. And I got a text from you late at night and said something in the something like Fresno stinks. And I was like, why is he upset with Fresno? I just checked the score, and they got a two-touchdown lead. But I wasn't tracking the game because I ended up not betting it. 5-1-1 against the spread the past seven, the San Jose Spartans. How about this? 52-42 loss to Boise. I watched a lot of that game. This San Jose team, I've watched more San Jose State football this season than I have in a long time. And this is a tough team that can run the ball. They're pretty balanced offensively. Quarterback's playing well coached for the most part, even though he made a tactical blunder late in the game last week with the onside kick against Boise. Hawaii, Nick Rolovich has not been good at all as a home favorite. We've talked about that over and over. I think going into this season, he was 0-9-1 against the spread as a home favorite. Hawaii, 2-13-1 ATS the last 16 Mountain West home games. San Jose State's actually had some success on the island's ATS. I'm going to take the points here. I'm surprised the number is actually this high. I like San Jose State getting 7.5.
Yeah, I think they they had failed to cover as 19 straight games as a favorite or something ridiculous. They finally did at New Mexico when they were laying 10, won by 14. I will say this game with Fresno State was a little weird. There was like a bomb that was dry. It was just a couple plays that really could have swung everything. That also means they're 24-point second quarter where they had the lead again. They had 10-point lead at halftime to Fresno State, which is, I believe, when I texted you. But it's these Hawaii games are just so crazy. Maybe I'm just delirious and my brain's fried. I hadn't showered all day watching football all day. So maybe I'm just not all there watching these Hawaii games.
Well, it is pretty late on the East Coast when Hawaii plays out here. I love the Hawaii games.
Yeah, I have to come in around 6 a.m., and my producer just look at me. They're like, you watched the Hawaii game, didn't you? I'm like, yep.
Yeah, you know, it's actually maddening. I think this week's San Jose game is on Facebook TV or something. I'm not really smart enough. I'm not smart enough to know how to hook that up to my TV. But, with the proliferation of sports gambling across the country and the fact that people from coast to coast and from the islands to Hawaii the islands in Hawaii to where you are out east are going to be betting a lot of the late night games. Every Hawaii game, football and basketball, should be nationally televised.
Well, it is. It's on the internet, right? Just call it up on your phone, and as I'm trying to fall asleep, I'm watching in bed my Facebook.
I know. I think it just needs to be easier to access. I don't sit around watching Facebook TV. I believe that Hawaii is going to be one of the most popular teams for people to watch and bet in the coming years because it's, the last game on the board. It's been that way out here for a long time.
Yeah.
We always talk about and bet the Hawaii games quite a bit. But I think nationally a lot more people are going to pay attention to Hawaii because, like you said, the get-out game, the last game on the board, I think these games need to be on TV more often. Let's make a push for it. And I'm not talking Facebook TV.
That's a fair request. Just some parting final college basketball thoughts moving forward. Just anything that you can summarize for our audience?
Yeah, I had a break even opening night in college hoops. I was a little bit disappointed because I really believe even you can go back and watch the game. Duke is not that good. Duke's definitely not a great team and not on the level of last year's team. And forced, I guess you would call it, 28 turnovers against Kansas on opening night. Kansas, it was a lot of unforced errors too. So it wasn't all Duke's defense. But if you think about it, 28, that's the most turnovers for Kansas in a game in over 30 years. And that was a one-possession game at the end. And I still believe Kansas has more upside. And I still have Kansas rated higher than Duke. I think the Blue Devils are going to have some outside shooting problems. And you push this three-point line back to 22 feet, and it makes mediocre shooting teams even worse. Turns them into bad shooting teams. I think Duke's got an issue. And I don't think the ceiling for the Blue Devils is that high. Kansas, a little bit higher. I do have concerns with Kansas and Michigan State both coming out of last night's game. And I didn't bet the Michigan State-Kentucky game. I had a sense that the Spartans were going to have their hands full because Joshua Langford, senior guard, really a dynamic player, is out until at least January with a foot injury. And I still rate Michigan State the number one team in the nation, but it was by a really thin margin. And I downgraded Michigan State by 1.5 points when the Langford news came out that you know, he's going to be done until January. He might not play this season, and that's a big loss. You see Rocket Watts, the freshman, came in last night and played. He basically took Langford's spot. He went scoreless in the game. He was overwhelmed. He was not ready. So I think Michigan State's got some real issues here in the next couple months. And I thought going into it they were going to lose a couple games in the first 2 months before Big Ten play. Man, they better hope Joshua Langford can get back in January. Spartans have got a likely game against Kansas in the Maui Invitational. And Duke is going to play at Michigan State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Michigan State could have two or three losses going into Big Ten play. And, you know, that's unusual for a preseason number one. But the Langford injury is really going to hurt. Kansas might not have enough perimeter shooting. Michigan State might not have enough. I'll tell you who the number one team in the nation might be right now, Doug, and it might be Louisville. If you can grab 16-1 on a future with Louisville, which I have in my pocket, I would say go ahead and do it. I like this team a lot. I think it's the best team in the ACC and might be the best team in the country. So Louisville's a team to watch. Biggest upset on opening night, I did take 15 points with UC Riverside, which won by 19 at Nebraska. I think Fred Hoiberg's got a major rebuilding job. He's got an entirely new roster, new look Nebraska team. To get blown out that way by the Highlanders and Lincoln is a really bad sign for what's in store in the Big Ten. The worst two teams in the Big Ten are going to be Nebraska and Northwestern. What else last night? That was about it. That was about tonight in college hoops. I took 11 with Notre Dame against North Carolina. Mike Bray got all five starters back. He tied for last in the ACC last season, but he's got a veteran team. Roy Williams has got a young team with a great freshman point guard in Cole Anthony, so I think Tar Heels are going to get better as the season goes on, but Mike Bray's got a veteran team tonight. I thought 11's too many points in that game. The Irish are going to bounce back this season. Bray's too good a coach. I took 6.5 with Cincinnati at Ohio State. Mick Cronin left for UCLA, but Brennan takes over at Cincy. He's going to run full-court pressure defense, fast-paced offense. Cincy's going to be a team to watch. You got veteran, tough players there, too. I think that's going to be a brawl tonight in Columbus. So I took 6.5 with the Bearcats. I also laid 22.5 with Arizona over Northern Arizona, which had its coach quit and joined the Arizona coaching staff before the season, Jack Murphy. That's a bad sign for the Lumberjacks. Sean Miller should win that game by 25-35 tonight in Tucson. I don't like big favorites too often. If this one doesn't come in, you won't see me play another one in this range. And I did play UC Santa Barbara laying 12.5 over Jackson State, which didn't have its best player in a loss to Cal Baptist last night. It's playing back-to-back nights. This number has jumped up today, but I think the Gauchos, no doubt the best team in the Big West Conference and should roll by 20 in that game tonight in Santa Barbara.
Great stuff as always, my friend. It's exciting. And, yeah, you posted those plays on Twitter, so keep an eye on Matt's Twitter feed as well down the road. Good talking to you, man. Let's root home these picks.
You bet. Let's have a winning week. Thanks, man.
Kicking is for losers.
It sure is, and we saw evidence of that in a barn burner of a game that probably I was the only person watching on Nesson. Last Saturday, as we welcome the director, Mr. Executive Director John Murray. How are you, my friend?
What game was on Nesson?
So that's what I wanted to start with, this barn burn. Yeah. I was on UMass catching 24 against Liberty at home. And okay. UMass's defense, by all accounts, is the worst in the country, right? Like bottom three in all these metrics. Yeah. They're down, I want to say 28-14, something like that. It's first half. Fourth and two on Liberty's 47-yard line. They punt.
Oh, beautiful.
This was already a high-scoring game. Their defense hadn't stopped them all. You know, it's just – so what happens? They pin them on, like, the 10, and they – Liberty promptly scores in four plays.
That sounds about right. Did you see the – we see that punt Georgia had on Saturday? They punted from the 41-yard line into the end zone for a net of 21 yards, and Florida scored a touchdown a few plays later.
What was the down and distance?
It was fourth and, I don't know, eight. It was something like that. It wasn't, like, really long. It wasn't, like, fourth and 30.
Why don't you just, like...
go for it?
Squib kick it at the 20-yard line or something. Like, there's got to be better things to do. Obviously, go for it. I'm just thinking, like, even better than that normal punt.
You could always try to just throw the ball. I don't want necessarily a Hail Mary, but a long throw.
Get a P.I.
Potentially draw a P.I. or an interception could work better than a punt in some cases.
My brother was – he played college quarterback, small school, and then he was very good at P.A.T. holding as well. And he maintains he could have been – he should have been in the NFL for a P.A.T. holder. And then also the short, the short yardage kicking, punting.
Because, so that's a roster spot, the PAT
like,
holder?
This was around like when Romo botched the snap in the playoff game with the Cowboys and Seahawks.
Sure.
But the concept was it's easier for, and I'm going to impersonate him, easier for me to do a full-length punt than these guys to do a, you know, like golf, right? You, would you rather hit a full pitching wedge than like a half 7-iron?
Oh, so he's saying that he could punt at full strength and it would go as far as the pooch.
Correct.
So it's like a pulling a different club out of the bag.
Right.
It's like we only need a 30-yard punt here. Put in Kazarian.
Yeah, and he was such a good like PAT holder, he'd have added value around that as well.
Huh. I mean, it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard.
You had like an offensive lineman who could be like a good, you know, full range, whatever, you know, it'd be the short yardage punter, then why not?
Sure. I'd be in favor of it. I like the I know the smart coaches like Belichick, they like players that are versatile, that can fill a lot of different boxes for the team. So
yeah,
I'm good with it.
So no, it is. That's what backfires the most is when these things go into the end zone.
Yeah, for sure. And now you've got, and not only that, but they also like Florida immediately got past where they were, or past where Georgia punted from. I think within three plays they were past midfield.
I'm trying to think when we were, you know, as kids growing up playing video games, like we never punted in that situation. Like we always went for it.
Oh, of course. Why would you punt on it? We would never punt on the other team's side of the field. No way.
They'll learn. We're chipping away, Murray.
Someday the NFL coaches will be as advanced as we were when we were 10 years old playing video games. It's going to be exciting.
There was an interesting game Monday night, right? Shermer punted. Down two scores with 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, did he do that on Monday night too? I know he did that on the Thursday night game against New England about a month ago.
He did it on Monday as well.
He did it again?
I think it was
oh my God.
12-point game maybe? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not as prepared for the Giants situation. But yeah.
Well, I know that Shermer was kicking all those short field goals. I know that for sure. I saw him do
that was amazing.
A bunch of field goal kicks from inside the 10-yard line. And then Dallas would get the ball back, and they'd go right down the field and score a touchdown. I don't get it, and I'll never understand it. And people say to me on Twitter, they're like, you got to stop, you know, making the same jokes about the kicking. And I'm like, I will as soon as they stop doing it. As soon as it stops being relevant, I'll stop too. But these coaches just keep doing this nonsense week after week in both college and pro football.
Tomorrow we'll discuss the Belichick decision at the end of the first half to kick the field goal from inside the one. But now let's talk college. That's a little
tense. I didn't like that one, but we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah. So the sharp plays you provided last week, strong to quite strong. Utah, -3, covers. Tennessee, -11, covers. Memphis got the best of the number, -4.5, covers as it lands 6. And by the way, those analytics, the analytics do say to go for the 2-point conversion when you go from 14 to 8. So
Memphis is the kind of game where you should have won no matter if you're a smart player, a wise guy, you should have won whether you bet Memphis or SMU.
Good point.
Because you could, you know, that's the kind of, and you should not have lost on that Memphis SMU game. No professional bettor would have lost on that game.
Well, I will say this, if you like the SMU side and it got to 6, did you really think it was going to keep going up? That'd be a tough one.
But still, you could take 6. You shouldn't have lost,
right.
Let's say that.
I would agree with that.
Shouldn't have lost. Maybe not necessarily won, but you definitely shouldn't have lost a bet on that game.
What was I going to say? Georgia Southern went outright.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was
NIU,
good one, yeah.
How did NIU do?
They got crushed. They got trucked by Central Michigan.
That's right. Central. A sharp guy in Vegas that I asked. I go, give me a couple plays. And he goes, Central Michigan and Tennessee. That's what he told me Friday night. I was like, I'm hearing good things.
Yeah, well, that guy did pretty good.
That was a rocking chair cover. Okay, my man, let's turn the page. Very intriguing weekend. Let's start with Alabama LSU. You put this line up. Oh, you had it up all year in the advance, but you really put it up last week at 7, and you got steam on the dog, right?
A little bit. We're down to 6.5 on LSU. Most of the tickets are on LSU. It's about 3-to-1 ticket count on LSU. And where we've really seen one-sided money has actually been on the total. Everybody's been betting the under. We saw a sharp bet come in this morning, under 64. We went down to 63. Now, right now, the way it's shaping up, we're actually going to need Alabama and the over, which is kind of funny when you talk about such a high-profile game, rooting for the favorite and the over. But and it's only Wednesday morning, so a lot can happen. But as of now, we need the favorite, we need the over.
Do you think you'll have some big rec players, like just some big house players come in and want to fire on that game, maybe some blackjack players?
Yeah, it's kind of a game you can book it like you're booking an NFL game with a little bit higher limits because there's going to be so much money in that pool. You can't treat it the same way as like the South Alabama Texas State game, which is right next to them on the betting board. This is a different beast for sure.
What is the crew? What do you and the crew say about this one?
I mean, we made it 7, so it's hard to act like there's great value at 6.5 here. I mean, I know Ed Sammons has got Alabama as the second best team in the country, about a point behind Ohio State. This line is right in line with what we all think it should be, so it's really hard to say that we love a side in the game.
Yeah, the total feels obviously really high, but I'm not – like, I know there's been sharp money on the under. I'm not sure I see it. I think it all comes down to Bama's defense, right? They have an knack for bending but not breaking. Red zone, they do pretty well and force the field goal attempts. The question is, can LSU convert those red zone opportunities into touchdowns? And if they do, this game's going to go over the total.
Yeah, and it's just you can't look at it and compare it to the Alabama-LSU games we've had recently. Like last year, I think Alabama shut them out. They had a 9-6 game a few years ago. LSU is so different offensively in terms of their play calling, and they finally have a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. So it's a very different LSU-Alabama game than the one we've had the last few years.
I believe it's the highest total ever in the series. Alabama's won 8 straight meetings, so that's kind of interesting. This one, obviously, in Tuscaloosa, an afternoon game. I mean, it's got to come down to Tua. You guys are assuming what kind of percentage of health?
I mean, I'd say close to 100%. I mean, you know, Alabama's not – you know, Alabama should not be laying almost a touchdown against a team as talented as LSU unless Tua is close to 100% health.
See, I'm making the point today on Daily Wager. I think the value is in Tua plus 300 to win the Heisman.
I don't disagree with that. And I've actually said that earlier this week, how if Alabama does win this game in a blowout fashion, it's a big if, and Tua plays well, he'll certainly be the favorite come Tuesday morning or Monday morning when we put this pool back up.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Not too long ago, he was an odds-on favorite. I think missing the Tennessee game doesn't matter. So the question is, like, if they win, they're going to have to score points, and that involves a good game from Tua. So I don't even think it needs to be a blowout win. I just think they need to win, and then he'll also have the extra game in December for the SEC championship game that Joe Burrow will not.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be tough for Joe Burrow to win the Heisman if they don't win on Saturday because, like you just said, he won't have that SEC championship game. And he'll lose the biggest game of the year to another guy that's in the Heisman race, Tua.
But if he plays well, and then Bama, like if Tua continues to struggle against really good defenses, like last year, he struggled, right? He struggled against Georgia, and like if that happens again, then I think Joe Burrow, you don't have to go undefeated to win this thing. I think Chase Young's still in the mix too. I'm actually pleasantly surprised by it's not just like a gratuitous sort of mention. I think he's a viable candidate.
Well, you definitely don't have to go undefeated. I'm just talking, looking at these circumstances where he would have lost directly to Tua, and he wouldn't have the conference championship game. I'm talking about Joe Burrow.
Right.
I think that'd be a lot for him to overcome. But certainly, a guy on an 11 and one team can win the Heisman Trophy. There's no doubt about that.
And Fields is in the mix too. I'm not sure Hurts is.
Yeah.
Although the odds would suggest he is. I think Fields.
Well, Hurts has a few more. You know, he's got a pretty high profile game on Saturday. That Iowa State game is the big primetime game this week. And then he's got, theoretically, 2 more matchups with Baylor or a matchup with Baylor, let's just say Texas or Oklahoma State, somebody like that in the Big 12 title game. So he's got several more really high-profile games that at least gives him a shot.
Good point. Okay, my friend, what do you got behind the counter there?
Well, speaking of Baylor, we saw sharp money come in on them this week. Baylor, they laid 1.5. They're now up to minus 2.5. And they're playing on the road at TCU, huge Big 12 game on Saturday.
I was kind of disappointed with TCU last week. They don't make the plays on offense. They just don't make enough plays.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that. But Baylor undefeated and certainly so impressive, the job that Matt Rhule has done in Waco. A critical game there. We saw sharp money. How about this one? Another team that's in the mix for the college football playoff. These guys laid 42 with Ohio State against Maryland.
I don't blame it. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Maryland's terrible.
It's hard. You know, I've been doing a few other shows where they asked me to make lines on, like, to make lines on these really one-sided matchups. And sometimes it's hard to make those numbers because you got to think, in all likelihood, Ohio State will take their foot off the gas in the second half of this game.
Right, but the scrubs, and I mean, probably reserves is a better word. The reserves are that much better.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And that's a very fair point, but they might just, you know, run the ball up the middle on every play. I think you can cover 42, but that's pushing it. But either way, that's where we saw sharp money come in. I'm just reporting what I saw, and they laid 42 in that game.
By the way, Rutgers on tap next for Ohio State.
That should be a tough
50 burger. Are we going to see a 50 burger?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be. I mean, you're talking about a Rutgers team that was getting 8 points against Liberty the other day. So I don't know how you wouldn't be in the 50s. Yeah.
I mean, Maryland blew them out.
Yeah. No, I know. How about this one? UTEP. These guys took 12.5, excuse me. They're at home against Charlotte on Saturday.
I like the Charlotte team. They haven't been very good.
No. They're a team that we did see some pretty sharp money on. I feel like coming earlier in the year and obviously in some other matchups, they were a team that we were seeing some support for, but haven't heard much from them recently, to tell you the truth.
Not sure I've seen some UTEP money at all this year. I haven't heard anyone.
No, like, I don't think I've mentioned them on any interviews I've done all season, to be honest with you. They're a team that's a forgettable college football team this year.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming, UTEP. What else? Anything? Is that it?
No, with South Florida, they took 2.5 with South Florida. And then don't really have anything to say about that game, frankly, just that there was a sharp bet on South Florida. But the one that was kind of interesting was this morning, a group laid 14 with Oklahoma. Well, I thought that was kind of an interesting one. But, yeah, South Florida, I think that's a Thursday game, correct? So,
yep, all night.
If you don't want to watch the big Raider-Charger game, which actually is a pretty good game for an NFL Thursday night, I will say.
Yeah.
But South Florida Temple could be your backup plan. Yeah, I think the interesting team this week, or one of the interesting games this week for me, is to watch Florida State a week after firing Willie Taggart. I was thinking it might be a good spot to get behind the Seminoles, but actually we've seen money come in on Boston College and push that line up a little bit from BC minus 1.5 to BC minus 2.5.
Well, this was a good bet on game last year for BC, or was it 2 years ago, I guess? Because I remember the weather was a factor, so I guess it was 2 years ago.
Just seems like it may be maybe about a betting spot there. And I'll give you this one, too, just because I know you love these. Potential square dog alert in East Lansing. Everybody's betting Illinois. They're taking the points with Illinois. They're at Michigan State. And this number's actually gone up a little bit from 13 to 14.5. Actually, it got as high as 15.5, but came back down a little bit to 14.5. But right now, a lot of money on Illinois as a potential square dog, and also Iowa. They're on the road at Wisconsin. Everybody's taking Iowa there. That's not a big surprise because they're seeing those points, and they're looking at that total. We got that total at 38. So they're taking the points there with the Hawkeyes.
That's really interesting because I'm on Illinois, and that doesn't concern me that much. Because I've been fading Sparty all year. So if it bites me this time, then fine. It's going to catch up with me. But at some point, like I just, there's been a lot of sharp money on Sparty this year. Because I know the box scores, the stats, the total yards against Penn State, against other game, like Wisconsin. But I don't see it. I think the Sparty team is so overrated. So I'm going to continue to fade them.
I'm going to give you one more. Texas. They laid 5.5. They laid 6.5. Now the Longhorns are minus 7. They're at home against Kansas State in the afternoon on Saturday. Kansas State's got to be riding high. 2 weeks ago they beat Oklahoma. Last Saturday they trounced their rivals, Kansas. Big Sunflower State showdown. Texas has gotten the sharp money this week, though. That number's been pushed up from 5.5 to 7.
Of all those, which is the most like respected bet you took?
I'd say probably Baylor. It's a respected, definitely a respected play on Baylor in that game.
Yeah, that game should have been a blowout, at least a convincing win, not as close as it was with West Virginia in their last game. I think It's a good spot. And like I said, I've been very kind of anti-TCU. So I like that play. I like that bet.
The only thing that would concern me, though, is that all the tickets in that game are on Baylor. There's not many of them, but right now everybody's just betting Baylor. So just something to keep in mind. But I definitely respect the people that have played the Bears here.
Gotcha. All right, my man. Good stuff as always. And we'll talk tomorrow. Some NFL and that Belichick decision.
Yes, sir.
Pay that man his money.
That's what we hope takes place this week after we clean up on all these picks. So good stuff from John Murray. Good stuff from Matt Eumanns. Thanks to those guys for taking time out of their busy schedule. Thanks to everyone listening as well. I know there's a lot of options out there in the podcast space and your own personal lives and for you to download and listen and do all that. Means a lot. And we don't take that lightly. Travis, any concern for you that Ohio State's on upset of watch this week?
No, I'm good for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that and then that was my next question is Rutgers. So.
Like, listen, I mean, I could probably start, you know, one of those positions for Ohio State and we're still going to win. Like, it is what it is.
Any position, you think? Quarterback?
Any position? No, put me out at receiver. Like, yeah, I can't play quarterback.
What about defense? Can you play like an inside linebacker kind of thing?
Yeah, they can probably mask me there.
Yeah.
Just cover me up.
Right. That's what I'm thinking too. All right, my friend, thanks to you as well, and we'll catch everyone tomorrow for the NFL podcast.